But I will meditate on your decrees. Your laws please me. They give me wise advice.
Amen. Okay. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this lovely, luxurious day that you gave to us. Father, we just ask that you strengthen us today as we are talking about in Sunday school through the Holy Spirit to give us strength, give us encouragement, and Father, give us understanding that the things that we endure in life is our trials and tribulations, that we can come to you, to your throne, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, come to your throne and ask for anything that's on our mind and in our hearts and in our souls, Father. We just thank you so much for everything you've done for us. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Let the church say,
Amen.
Thank you, Deacon Alvin. All right, let's see if you all pick up the key thing for today. Last week, who remembers what our songs were mostly about last week? June probably does. Starts with a W. Worthy. He's worthy. Is he worthy?
Yes.
That's why we come to open our mouths. But today we're going to talk a little bit more about who he is.
No one,
I can search the heavens high. I can search the earth below, but there's no one. There is no one, no one. I can search the heavens high. I can search the earth below, but there's no one. There is no one, no one, no one so holy, no one so worthy, no one so faithful. There is no one, no one, no one so holy, no one so worthy, no one so faithful. There is no one, no one, no one so holy, no one so worthy, no one so faithful. I can search the heavens high, I can search the earth below, but there's no one. There is no one, no
Good morning, everybody. Alrighty, so as far as announcements go, I have a thank you card, and it says, I thank God as I remember you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. It says, to the Runner for Christ family, I am so glad to be part of a real, genuine family. Your prayers and kind words during our time of bereavement really helped us get through the death of Tyrone. We will cherish the RFCM resolution always. Love, June, Ray, and the Wordlow family. So, obviously, we want to remember to keep them in prayer. Amen. And as far as other announcements go, Sunday school begins for the adults upstairs at 9 a.m. The children have church downstairs beginning at 10 a.m. Also, every Sunday at 4 p.m., our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn has her show on Blog Talk Radio, Bring Back the Family. So don't forget to tune in and give her your support. Also, we have a new class beginning on tomorrow, Church History. Amen. Begins tomorrow at 6 p.m. On Blog Talk Radio. The teacher is Pastor O. It's a 15-week class. The textbook is entitled The Church That Jesus Christ Built, and it is a book written by Pastor O. Three ways to get your textbook. One, go to Pastor O's website, pastorgmo.com. You can pick it up at the church office, but you need to call first for an appointment. So if you need the number, it's 313-908-9448. Or if you're here, just see Sister Sheila in the back and she'll make sure to get you a book. Amen. So be ready tomorrow. Pastor has sent two emails, I believe, about the class to get us prepared for discussion and introduction to the class. So make sure if you're on his list to check your email. If not, they might be back there on the back table. They are on the back table. So in case you don't have an email, please see the back table to get your information for class tomorrow. Also, don't forget every Wednesday on Blog Talk, we have our Bible reading class that begins at 6 p.m. The questions are available again by email if you're on Pastor's email list. If not, you can go to the back table. The questions are going to be back there for you to be able to participate. If not, you can go to rfcm.org and click on the Bible classes tab, and you'll have the questions there for you to be able to participate. If you want to pay your tithes, give any offerings, again, rfcm.org is the place to go. The Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and everyone else that we're able to help throughout your giving and your consistent and your generous giving throughout the year. Amen. All right, so birthdays. Deacon Oliver is celebrating his birthday today. So happy birthday to him. Deacon Mackey, his birthday is on the 12th. Deacon Tate is on the 14th. TJ is on the 17th. Pastor O on the 18th. Nakia on the 21st. And Kathy is closing us out on the 22nd. So happy birthday to everybody. And just as a reminder, if you all have any announcements that you want to be read, make sure you give them to Sheila for them to be passed on to me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
This is, yes, come on. Audience participation, as you're standing to your feet, we're going to get your knees worked out. If you need an envelope or a little more time, please see your deacons during this next song. We are collecting offering. Offering isn't just throwing money at God or paying a tax. Offering is part of your worship. Not paying God for what he's done, because we don't have enough anything to give that. But it is your way of saying to the Lord that you're grateful and you love him. Amen?
Amen.
You want to see God? You can see him. Not physically, but you can see him spiritually.
Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy.
Holy, 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 I want to see you.
We all want to see Jesus. There are some people that need us praying for them. I'm going to have Pastor Jonathan to come and lead us in altar call. I know, even though he's double duty preaching. While he's leading us out loud, we need to be praying individually, collectively as a family, for these and any others that aren't on this list, because frankly, we'd be 2-3 slides. So as he's coming,
the old back there clowning, talking about I got double duty. He's starting to enjoy his time off. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for the design of us, who you designed us to be. We thank you for our Father, our brother, our comforter. We thank you for all of the Holy Trinity. All of you work on our behalf, and we simply say thank you. Help us to acknowledge you and to love you in action. Help us to pay close attention to how we live. Help us to love one another and to unify in love as the body of Christ, knowing who we are. Help us to learn who we are and why we have a relationship with you. Why the Father and why the Son, why the Spirit do what they do on our behalf. And help us not to get caught up in the trivial things of life and the distractions. Because, Lord, we need you and we need to focus on what's coming. The present day, right now, time ain't long, Lord. We see it. We know it. The earth is screaming it, that time is running out. Help us to sense the urgency to lead others to you, those who are outside the body of Christ. We get so caught up in fulfilling our own personal lusts and buying cars and houses and jewelry and things that don't matter, that are going to eventually destroy and burn up. But we don't think about eternity. I had a conversation yesterday with my son about what's to come and eternity. And he even said, Dad, you can see it. You know that time ain't long. You know that things are changing and people are getting crazier and crazier because they don't know what's coming. They're all confused, and that's strictly because your children haven't done our job. We haven't been faithful in your word. We haven't been faithful in showing love. We haven't been faithful in teaching others about who Jesus really is. And now, Lord, we need to do so. People are leaving here left and right. Each and every household in this place, I'm certain, has been touched by someone passing away. And Lord, we need to realize that we have a job to do. We need to make disciples, learners, and followers of Christ. Because eternity doesn't have an end. And help us to realize that and to be sober-minded and to be transformed and to be renewed daily, knowing that eternity has no end. So we need to choose where we're going, and we need to make sure that others are not perishing forever and ever and ever, but they will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. We say thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
How many my foes increase? There are many who attack me, many who say about me, there is no help for him in God. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I bow down and sleep, and I wake because the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of thousands of people who take their stand at every side. Rise up, Lord, save me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the cheek and break the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. May your blessings be on your people.
Many are they that trouble me, many are they that rise up against me, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him. Glory and the lifter of my head.
one more time for the praise team. They sing so fine, don't you agree?
Salty chocolate.
Y'all know I pray for me. Right. So before I get to goofing off, Darius, will you come up? So on behalf of Running for Christ Ministries, I want to present this card to you as well as Malachi. I'll make, you know, just make sure your mama get his card. It says, blessed are those who give of themselves. Darius and Malachi, with warmest thanks for all your help that you gave to save a man's life from a fire. We're so proud of you, so proud of your heroic actions. God bless you, your Runner for Christ Ministries church family, Pastor Gerald M. Overall. Yes, sir. This one's yours, and it's not yours. All right, yep. King Darius. My man. All right. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this awesome day, for this awesome worship service, Lord. We pray that you would receive our worship as a sweet-smelling fragrance to your nostrils. And we say thank you, Lord, for blessing us with this word and with your presence and examples in the Bible of real people who we can look up to. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Move me out of the way. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So this is the second man of the Bible that will be presented. Our dear brother David. Very interesting person. But if you pay close attention, you will constantly see the Lord's love and compassion and mercy and grace constantly in your life as well as David's. So, David was the youngest of 8 sons from Jesse and Nitzabeth. David is also the great-grandson of Ruth through Boaz, which places him right in the family lineage of Jesus. David was also a shepherd who was in charge of keeping and protecting his father's sheep. You see any resemblance, any similarity? 1 Samuel 17 talks about how David killed a bear and a lion in efforts to protect the sheep and himself. So a lot of times, I've had this conversation with my sons, actually, as they had questions. And even before, when we had the teens in Sunday school and the class in the basement, Amir and Alex, my star pupils, will tell you we've had plenty of conversations about David. And David was a real person. So what I did during quarantine is I purchased my son's action Bibles. What the action Bible is it presents the Bible in the form of a comic book. It's about 837 pages. And it sparked conversations with my kids because they could see the different things about David and the different people that actually lived in the Bible. And what happens a lot of times is that we characterize the people who lived in the Bible like they were just characters in a fictional story. And that's not the case. David actually walked the earth. David was a shepherd. David was the runt of the litter, the youngest of 8 sons. And had a couple of sisters, but it specifically talked about being the youngest of 8 sons. So, and when I mentioned that David did go on to kill a lion and kill a bear to protect the sheep, That actually happened. And we'll see further on into David's story that David really wasn't a scary type person. He was a warrior. And I want you to pay close attention to some of the things he went through and some of the things he accomplished, really to draw inspiration for yourselves, for ourselves, that no matter what's in front of you, no matter the obstacle, if you have the Lord with you, you can conquer that thing. Because we get twisted up with bills we can't pay. I have student loan debt that I can't pay right now. But the reality is if you've been paying attention, the Lord has been working that thing out, because I told the Lord, I don't want that debt anymore. So even though that's, yes, six figures, but I know the Lord is working. I see it, because he's drawing me back to what I asked him for. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 25, then I'm going to skip down to 35 and through 37. Then I'm going to go over to 1 Samuel 18, 7 and 8. So, one of David's obstacles just so happened to be a 9'9" giant. Yeah. It doesn't talk about specifically how tall he was, but the estimates are all over the place. I'm going to say that David wasn't 9'9" or anywhere close. We'll keep it at that. Have you seen the giant? The men asked. He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes. That was the first time I caught that. That he was going to give, King Saul was going to give whoever killed the giant one of his daughters in marriage, and that their whole family would be exempted from paying taxes. And believe it or not, you would think people would be chomping at the bit to run out there. It was like, yeah, I don't care what you say. Like, you can offer all your daughters and all the money, but I'm not doing that. So I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from the Philistine. David goes on to kill Goliath with a stone and a sling and proceeds to cut his head off. That was another thing I got when we were in Sunday school, the part about, because you know, I grew up in the church, they didn't talk about the decapitation part. But remember, David is a shepherd boy and literally was sent by his father to bring food and drink to the soldiers, because his brothers were in the army. King Saul was basically the king and running the show, but no one had the courage to step to this giant. But one thing David understood was, the Lord has kept me previously when I had obstacles that seemed impossible. He kept me facing a lion and a bear. Now, I don't know, I've witnessed a lioness in person. She was heavily sedated, and you could take pictures with her at Hart Plaza. This was back when, you know, they had the African World Fest and stuff like that. The lioness was, her body lying down on a cement slab was probably about this high. Her body. Her head was probably, I dare to say, about that big. Like a just massive. Now this is a lioness that I saw in person. a lion much bigger. The lion knows I'm ready to eat one of these sheep. David, being the shepherd, takes care of the sheep. Jesus, being the shepherd, takes care of his sheep, no matter what. No matter what obstacle, no matter what force is working against the sheep, the shepherd takes care of his sheep. Amen? And then you have a bear. It doesn't say what type of bear. I like bears. I haven't seen them in person. Well, I've seen some polar bears, you know. But a bear is a bear. It's not a soft, cuddly teddy bear that we're talking about. We're talking about an angry, hungry bear. And David is telling you, I go after it with the club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. So he's putting himself in harm's way to protect the sheep. Sounds like what Jesus did time and time again, even to death. Now picture this. Let's say David was average size and grabbed a lion in its jaw. Y'all ever seen the teeth on TV of a lion? This is probably one of them. A tooth in a lion's head. And he's grabbing him by the jaw, basically clubbing it to death, beating it to death with a stick. First and foremost, me and that stick gonna be in the opposite direction of that lion or that bear. But it says, I go after it. He went after it because, like Darius and Malachi, they ran into the threat, into the danger. And that's what warriors do. They run to the danger, not away from it. He went after the bear and the lion like, no, you won't. And he said, club them to death. This is an average man with an extraordinary heart for the Lord. He realized that I am who I am because of the Lord's presence in me. So that's why he could go after and protect his sheep, because he didn't want to lose not one. When it says it's the Father's will that none should perish, he doesn't want anyone to go to hell. And he's going to do everything he can, all powerful, all knowing, omnipresent. I can be everywhere. I know everything. I can do everything to protect you. So why are we fearful of anything? Amen? And he says, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from the Philistine. David goes on to kill Goliath with a stone and a sling and proceeds to cut his head off. He grabbed five rocks. They say smooth stones. And he swung a sling and then popped it loose, hit Goliath in the head. It was like Goliath being shot at point blank range in the head. So we all know that that was the Lord doing that. Because a 9'9" man is literally a foot and a half taller than me. And that means, and he wasn't just skinny, he was a warrior. So you had to believe that his head matched his body. So typically a rock, if you throw a rock and hit me in the head, outside of pissing me off, it's gonna bounce off. That's what's gonna happen. But with that supernatural force behind it, it killed Goliath. And then he took Goliath's sword and peeled his cap. And not only that, he walked around with it to let them know, this is what the Lord did. This is what the Lord did. And he wasn't bragging about himself, because David was humble. He embraced humility. The word talks about that. He bragged on what the Lord did because he knew it wasn't him. David knew what time it was. The only reason why I survived killing a bear and a lion and this giant is because of the Lord. The reason why you are here today is because of the Lord. After everything you've gone through in your life, you are here because of the Lord. Period. It's not by anything that you deserve or have done yourself. I've been shot at. I go in and out of nasty houses with DPD on a weekly basis. I'm in the presence of murderers at any given point on my job. And rapists. It's not that John is big bad wolf. No, it's the Lord. I know that. I understand that. I've been in car accidents. I've done crazy things on purpose, like drag racing up the freeway. It's only because of the Lord that I'm here. And God's somewhat of a good man. Amen. So this was their song because they saw, people saw what David had done. The word spread. So this was their song. Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. This made Saul very angry. What's this, he said. They credit David with 10,000s and me with only thousands. Next, they will make him king despite human evil. We are to trust God as David did with humility. So Saul was angry because this runt of the litter, the youngest, the baby, ran up here, ran to the threat and killed Goliath. And people saying, you the man, baby. Saul killed thousands, but you killed 10,000. And then Saul is like, I know what's next. They're going to pump him up and try to make him the king. And that made him, and David and Saul were cool. And then Jonathan, his son, they were tight, real tight. But David was humble. He trusted the Lord and he walked in his humility. David didn't care about these people singing these songs or the fact that I killed this giant. He didn't. His thing was the Lord did it. The Lord did this. The Lord did that. Amen?
Amen.
Let's turn to Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Acts 13, 22 says, but God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to. David's heart pointed towards God, and he had a deep desire to follow God's will and do everything God wanted him to do. Let me read that again. David's heart pointed towards God, and he had a deep desire to follow God's will and do everything God wanted him to do. That's why it said that David is a man after God's own heart, because God looked at David's heart and knew his deep desire to please him and to do everything that God wanted him to do. And that was a question that was answered for me, because yes, I've read the Bible from cover to cover a couple times. I've heard the scripture. It's different when you kind of pick it apart. But when he asked the question, when I asked the question, why is he considered that? Because you know what I looked at? The fact that David was a man, David was a killer. How could he be a man after God's own heart? And that's it. David had a deep desire to please God and to do everything that God wanted him to do. And it made me look at John and say, what are your deep desires? Do you want to please God and do what he wants you to do, not just some of the stuff, but everything. Because if you look at it, David started as a musty, smelly shepherd. And then now it says that, but God removed Saul, and we know Saul's end, he fell on his sword. And that's another thing about the word, because I've heard time and time and time again about suicide. And I had to have a conversation with a guy because a guy had taken his life. And these other two guys, I ain't gonna say where they go to church, but they was like, well, he going to hell. And I said, so the Lord died for everything except suicide? I said, show me in the Bible where that's so. And they stood mute. And I wasn't trying to flex my muscles. I just want to know. If you know something that I don't know about what I've read in the Word, teach me. I'm ready to learn. I do research for fun. Look, Pastor O sent an email about heretics. I had to look the Word up. And then I had to look up hearsay. And I was like, oh, okay, I got it. I understand what he's saying now, because I did some research. But I asked him, so the Lord died for everything except suicide, right? I said, so what about Saul? What did the prophet say? You're going to be with me shortly. We know the prophet was a righteous, God-fearing man that went on to glory. So guess where Saul went? Before, because Saul went crazy, we go crazy. So I ain't judging Saul. But Saul felt the heat coming, and he fell on his sword and took his own life. Don't put the Lord in a box that the world wants him to be in. He's not that. When Jesus died on that cross and rose from the grave, it was for every single nasty, filthy, disgusting sin, past, present, and future, for each and every one of us. That's awesome. Because if you know like John know, some crazy stuff crossed my mind. Even crazier stuff actually plays itself out. David was no different than me or you. Amen? So with the death of Saul, David becomes king and wins many battles. He unifies the tribes of Israel under his leadership, and he establishes Jerusalem as the physical and religious capital. David also wanted to build a temple for the Lord. So what he did when David became king is he brought everybody together, and he changed the name of Jerusalem to Zion. So, and he constantly, you know, people were constantly coming at the Israelites. Nothing changed. People were always coming at the Israelites, trying to test them and punk them and conquer them. But it says he won battle after battle after battle. Because remember, where the Lord knew the blueprint for David's life. He knew that if this guy trusts me in dealing with these lions and bears and protecting these sheep, then he's going to trust me in terms of when he faces this 9-foot-9 giant. And not only that, I'm going to use all of that from his shepherd life to him beating and defeating Goliath to becoming king, so that now, if you think about it, his confidence is ridiculous. But not his confidence in himself. It says David won these things in humility and trusted and praised God. Because remember I said David's deep desire was to do everything that the Lord told him to do. David was still human, but his heart, that's what the Lord looks at. I tell people all the time, because when they get defeated and have these pity parties about what they've done, what is the Lord surprised about in your life? What surprises the Lord about you? We just talked about in Sunday school that the Spirit of the Lord created us. He's the creator. The breath of life. So sustains our lives. Made us and knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. So what surprises the Lord about your mouth? About your brain? About what you do with your body? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He loves on you anyway. The Lord's love and His grace and His mercy, He's not limited at all in anything. And we need to grasp that so that we draw inspiration and encouragement to share with others the story about David. So many people stop at, well, he killed Goliath. It's a lot more about David. The Lord had to compress a lot of stuff. Because when we read those beautiful poetries and psalms, a lot of that is David's writing to the Lord. He loved the Lord. He really did. And it wasn't just because of what God had done for him. He realized who he was or who he is. He had a deep understanding that this dude sustains me. He protects me. He loves me despite me. Because David, if you're winning a lot of battles, you got a lot of blood on your hands. And that's another thing. I had to have a conversation with one of my good friends. And he said, you know, the unforgivable sin is murder. I said, well, how did David get rid of Goliath? So I asked the I made the point. Because y'all know how my mind works sometimes. I said, so you saying murder is unforgivable, it's probably impossible or very difficult for you to commit murder, right? And he said, yeah. I said, well, let me put a scenario in front of you. I said, you walk in your mother's house, and there's a guy sitting on her chest, hitting her in the face with a skillet. What are you going to do? He said, I'll kill that. I said, that's my point. I said, and I would too. I wouldn't think about it. So we judge folks, but we don't look in the mirror. The Lord knows truly who we are. And He loves us anyway. He loves us anyway, just like David. Do you think the Lord was surprised that David was going to kill Goliath and peel his cap? No, not at all. He knew before David was formed and it's the best woman. All right? Let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 8 through 10. Now go and say to my servant David, this is what the Lord of Heaven's armies has declared. I took you from tending sheep in the pasture and selected you to be the leader of my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have destroyed all your enemies before your eyes. Now I will make your name famous as anyone who has ever lived on the earth. The Lord promises to make a dynasty of kings, and that one of David's descendants will build the temple. The Lord continues to bless David with many military victories, and David maintains his humility and trust in the Lord. So David's desire was to build a temple for the Lord, because he looked around his palace and was like, I'm living fat, but Lord ain't got no house, no physical house for us to go praise and worship. And the Lord had to remind him, I looked out for you. I took you from being a shepherd to being the leader of my people, being the king. And I'm going to make your name famous, because we're still talking about David and Goliath. Still talking about David. But one of your descendants is going to build a temple. And if you read down the line, we know that to be Solomon, his son. Very wise king. And for the record, they say, literally, one of the wealthiest people ever in the history of man, ever. Like, makes Bill Gates and them look broke. But that's Solomon didn't ask the Lord for money and possessions. He asked for wisdom. As we found out, that's all wrapped up in the spirit. Wisdom. Shoot, we need that. You need some wisdom. I don't kill nobody or myself. But the Lord continues to bless David with many military victories, and David maintains his humility and trust in the Lord. You know what happens to us when we feeling all right and our money right, job right, seem like everything going great. We forget all about the Lord. I did it. He maintained his humility and his trust in the Lord. He didn't brag about what he had done or who he had killed. He knew that that was all in the Lord. And let's be real. To run in the face, to run towards danger, to run towards a threat of your life, you have to trust the Lord. I don't trust my weapon. I don't trust my pepper spray. I trust the Lord. I don't trust that bulletproof vest because it ain't bulletproof. There are so many areas of weakness on that vest that I have to trust the Lord who has me totally. I don't trust my credit card. I definitely don't trust my job or my money or the stock market. I trust the Lord. But it ain't about John. It's about the Lord. David understood that. Because I said David's desire, deep desire, was to do everything that God had told him to do. Does that mean David was perfect? No. Does that mean he got it right all the time? No. As we're going to see. So, David and Bathsheba. David literally was chilling on the balcony. I'm paraphrasing. He walk around in his palace, and he just so happened to glance over and see this foreign woman bathing herself. Foreign. That is not a dictionary, kids. That is slang. It's fine. Beautiful. He saw her taking a bath. And he got the can't help it. I'm going to keep it G-rated because the children are going to ask questions or use the internet to look it up. But needless to say, he really wanted Bathsheba. Problem was, David's married, and so is she. But I'm the king. Do what I want to do. So when the king says come, you don't have no choice. Put your robe on, come on over. So what happens? They do what grown folks do, even though they were wrong. And then she popped up with child, pregnant. So she's not only a married woman, but she's married to one of his commanders in his army. And not no punk commander, he like one of them, he one of them people. Like a general. So David is trying to get this scheme together, like, hey, pull him off the battlefield so he can go hang out with his wife. But he's such a devoted general and soldier, I'm not sleeping in my bed when they out there in the field. So long story short, David sees his plan isn't working for him to put this baby on Uriah. So, right, literally. Shady. It's a man after God's own heart, though. And I'm gonna be honest with you. When I was reading this, it kind of made me feel better about my foolishness sometimes. Like, The Bible is one big soap opera. Like, these cats crazy. So long story short, he see his plan ain't working. He like, well, shoot, I'm going to send Uriah in the heat of the battle. So what happens? Uriah gets killed. So now he like, cool, he out the way. You going to be mine. And we going to have this baby. Problem is, the Lord had other plans. So Nathan rebuked David and lets him know that your reign is coming to an end because you clowned. So what ended up happening, the baby dies, baby boy. David all tore up. He like, Lord, Lord, Lord. Then after the baby died, he realized, well, my baby gone to be with the Lord, and he get on back to what I need to be doing. But the prophet lets him know, like, Lord, know what you did, because I hear people using that term loosely as far as being a prophet. Prophets tell you the truth based upon the word of what's to come. Not, hey, leisures, the lottery numbers is going to come this Wednesday, midday. If y'all would have seen her face, she was like, mm-hmm, right, I'll be at work getting my lottery money together. You played me out lottery if you want to, but. So, after that, David realizes, all right, I'm bold. It is what it is, but she was foreign. We had fun, but I know how the Lord is because of my relationship with him. There are consequences, brothers and sisters, to sin. Don't be fooled. No matter what we think or how we try to dress it up, there are consequences to what we do in terms of committing sin. When you go outside of the will of God, you get what's coming to you. In love, in grace, in mercy, but it's still a whooping coming. My mama loved me to death. She really did. However, when I was wrong, she was like, going upstairs, I'll be up there in a minute. And whatever she got her hands on the way up there, that's what you got it with. But kept me out of the penitentiary. Kept me from committing murder when I plotted it on the guy that used to put his hands on my mom. I ain't no different than David, and neither are you. The difference is, well, the similarity is the Lord's presence. Amen? So then, Amnon, David's son, sees his sister, Tamar, gotta have it. Just, he can't even concentrate. He want his sister that bad. It's David's son and his daughter. They're blood relatives. He wants her so bad, he can't concentrate, he can't think straight. And you know what happens when we want something so bad? We can't concentrate, we can't think straight. We just lusting after that thing and gotta have it. And then we get it, and then we don't want it for real. So that's what happened. Amnon went, assaulted his sister sexually, raped his sister, and then he was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm done with you. So, their brother Absalom was like, yeah, not on my watch. Now, Absalom was crazy, but on this one, I understood. There's three of us. The youngest is my sister. God help you if you put your hands on my sister. And believe it or not, I'm the nicer of the two brothers. Just putting that out there. Y'all pray for me then. So, Absalom finds out what took place with his sister and brother and has Amnon assassinated. You're not going to live after you defiled my sister like that. But Absalom has a taste for blood and it was like, you know what? I think I want to be king. I think I want to replace you, Father. So what he did, he launched a rebellion against David. David goes on the run. See the difference? David used to run towards the threat. At this point, because things have gotten so chaotic, and Nathan rebuked David, that my own children are just going crazy. And it wasn't like, he knew that the only way, he knew his father was a warrior. He heard the stories and he seen the victories in battles. So he knew that his father wasn't no punk. He knew that David was about that life. So he knew the only way to replace him was to kill him. Now David, being a compassionate father as well, said, let me get on the run real quick. So, it's something that y'all probably didn't even pay attention to in response of reading maybe a week or so. Turn to Psalm 3:7. Remember, David wrote a lot in Psalms. There were other authors in Psalms, but David wrote a lot in Psalm. Psalm 3:7 says, arise, O Lord, rescue me, my God. Slap all my enemies in the face, shatter the teeth of the wicked. Rescue me, my God, slap all my enemies in the face, shatter the teeth of the wicked. He's talking about his son. You know why? He had, they estimate, about 12,000 people after David. You can't just come after David by yourself. They killed a lion, they killed a bear, and a 9-foot-9 giant, and many, many countless other people in battle. So who did David run to? He ran to the Lord. He ran to the Lord. He didn't run to his bank account. He didn't run to mama and them. He ran to the Lord when he felt troubled. So because of David's prior experience, it had given him the confidence that the Lord wouldn't abandon him in this situation. Because the Lord was always with David, right, wrong, and indifferent. No matter what you face, the Lord is with you. You say, he's with you. He knows who you are. He knows how you do. And I say how we do and how we are, because I'm just the same. Don't let titles fool you. I'm John. I'm a human. But from being shot at, from being robbed, from burying my mother, my father, being a true single parent, being laid off for almost 2 years, consecutive, 19 months straight. He's always been there. That's why I can sing, I can shout, I can smile, because I understand where my help comes from. It comes from the Lord. Let us pray. First and foremost, if you're not saved, you're disconnected from the Lord. Your father is Satan, And he's trying to grab your hand and lead you straight to hell. Hell is not open yet, but the waiting place is called Hades. And it's hot. It's uncomfortable. Struggle to catch a breath. It's real. It's eternal. Because that's where hell is. But David understood that he created me, he loved me, he protected me. And the Lord is waiting for you to come on in. If you're not saved, John is going to spend eternity with the Lord. And I want each and every one of you to do the same. So if you're not saved, please see me in the back. If you have any questions about salvation, come on back and talk to me. There are many people around the church that can lead you to the Christ that we're talking about, the Lord that protected David and kept him. Amen? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for what you've shown us in your brother David, in our brother David. And we thank you for everything you've done for him, despite him. And we also thank you, Lord, that he had a deep desire to please you and to do everything that you told him to do. Help us to have hearts that are after your own, where we have a deep desire to please you and to love on you and to do everything that you tell us to do. And I pray that not one in this place or on Blog Talk Radio is not saved. I pray that each and every one that's listening and that's here is on their way to glory with you for eternity. We say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, it's customary for us here to go by what 2 Corinthians 9:13-14 tells us, that when somebody comes up here and preach the gospel, that they should receive their living from the gospel. So it's customary for us here to take up an offering for the preacher. That's what we're about to do now.
Ready. See how timely the word is and the Lord is. The very passage he preached about was the song we sang. David's song. Stand to your feet. Got Gia up here singing now. That's it. Stand to your feet. Okay. Declaration is more than just your mouth. It is your life. We know, as he said, David didn't lead a perfect life. There were many examples. David had the Bad Dad of the Year award every year. But David was a man after God's own heart. He declared who he belonged to by living out who he belonged to. So that's why we sing this song before we go out the door. And then when we sing this, Jonathan's going to come back and give us the benediction.
give it up for the junior praise team. They sang so fine, don't you agree? All right, pay attention. Now all glory to God, who was able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior through Jesus Christ, our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Let us say amen.
Amen.
Yeah.